from 30 for 30 Podcasts.
Brian Patta, senior defensive lineman from Miami, gunned down.
The key to this case, it's Brian.
An hour before he died, he was on the phone arguing with somebody.
This might be a hit.
You want the truth. They just want a conviction.
Being placed under arrest.
We had a killer amongst us.
Murder at the U. Listen now.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Are we really doing a hotness ranking?
No, you are.
On the Rich Eisen Show?
Rich Eisen.
Harry Goldblatt is number one.
The
bald guy.
Hey.
The bald Jewish Mester's guy?
Yes.
Wait, what?
She said it with such disdain.
Today's guests, Super Bowl champion tight end, Martellus Bennett, author Roger Bennett, actor Mila Jovovich. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
The Rich Eisen Show are live on Disney Plus, the ESPN app, and ESPN Radio, and Sirius XM Channel 80. In other words, the usual suspects for the way we are consumed. And we're thrilled to have you with us here on this show. I have not seen Martellus Bennett, Marty Saurus Rex, in a long time. As a matter of fact, might have been over 8-9 years ago. He's appeared on this show to talk about new children's books that he was putting together, and now it's a Disney Plus show. That's how I guess he grows as a human, as well, you know, height wise, as well as cartoon wise. He's joining us in hour number one of this program. And just to show you how we're completely all over the map, we welcome in hour number three a little Resident Evil. normally that's Mike Del Tufo, but he's not here today. Mila Jovovich is going to be Jovovich is on this program in hour number three. So we've got that. And as if there's not enough bald guys on the program based off of yesterday's excitement, Roger Bennett's new book called We Are the World Cup. He's joining us in the middle of hour number two to talk about all that. The delightfully naturalized citizen, Roger Bennett, one of the men in blazers, will be on this program. There's you at 844-204-RICH. Number to dial, Chris Brockman not here again. Susie Schuster is. Hi, Suze.
I was afraid you were referring to me as the Resident Evil.
No, why would I do that? Why would I do that?
Well, you know.
You took your jacket off. I thought you were going to do the whole jacket sweater thing.
You want me to throw it back on?
Well, we could do that.
It was a little dramatic.
No, we could do that when we talk about SGA later on.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the way he shows up to his in front of a microphone. I don't know if anybody saw that one last night.
Oh, yeah.
He's bringing the fits.
He is.
And the fits.
If you will. He's going to be, we'll talk about that later on. How are you, Jay Felly? What's
going on, buddy? Great. Thank you, Rich. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Max Crosby's still a Raider.
All right.
So every single day that happens, every single moment of every day that happens, you're happy.
I'm happy.
Hello, TJ Jefferson. How are you?
You know, it's funny. Yesterday, Jason got a comment that he was hurt by, in the comments said, if Jason wants to leave, if Max Crosby leaves, and we don't want him, we don't need fake fans. And Jay was like, I got my first hurtful piece of comment. I was like, Jay, that was about as nice as it's going to get.
But they know my name. And then they compared me to Del Tufo. So that
But was it a good comparison?
No.
How could
it be? Jumping teams.
You know, the Yankee Dodger hat that is just positively
absurd. You
can't have
two hats.
But Rich, I was like, that's about as nice as it's going to get in the comment section, bro. Wait till they start attacking you.
You can't have two hats, but TJ does have new glasses, Rich.
Ladies and gentlemen, I did not notice
breaking
that.
News.
What's going on?
They're very handsome.
I know, but you don't need them to see, though, right? I do.
I mean, the ones yesterday I did, these ones are, I'm stunting a little bit today,
like, ladies and gentlemen, like it's a Jumbotron. Good to see you. as I mentioned, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on today's program. So, listen, we all know it. We could see it. We talk about it almost every year in the National Football League, every year in the NFL about the weapons at Josh Allen's disposal. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I guess it doesn't matter because Allen is an MVP, or he'll run it, or James Cook will run it, or he'll find his tight ends. But at the end of the day, at the end of the day, when you take a look at what Joe Burrow has in Ja'Marr Chase, you take a look at what Matthew Stafford has it at his disposal with Puka Nacua in a first ballot Hall of Famers, I think Devontae Adams is going to wind up being Jackson Smith and Jigba for Sam Darnold, so on and so forth. You sit back and you wonder what would happen if Josh Allen had somebody like that at his disposal. And, you know, Khalil Shakir's a good player.
Very.
Notice I didn't say solid. I could have.
Well, you hate that, though.
I do. I find that as a substandard superlative.
See, because you use words like superlative, and you wonder why everyone else thinks solid. No,
listen,
okay.
That's why I'm just saying solid is solid is not solid.
Superfluous.
Josh Allen shouldn't have a leading receiver on his team with 719 yards receiving.
No.
Like, that just shouldn't happen. And the year before that, Shakir led the Bills in receiving with 821 yards. And that's what everyone was wondering what would happen when Stephon Diggs left. Because back in the day, Stephon Diggs showed up as a 27-year-old from Minnesota and had 1,500 yards receiving, just like that, with Josh Allen. And they seem to be BFFs until they weren't. And as yet we all know, he winds up going to Houston. He winds up going to New England. Now he's going to wind up to parts unknown. We'll talk about that in a second. So we had Brandon Bean in our NFL Network booth while the wide receivers are working out. And I just walked through the front door with him. I'm like, so are one of these kids going to basically be a Buffalo Bill? Mm-hmm. And he laughs, ha, ha, ha. I'm like, who knows? You can't say. He gave some sort of a word salad answer that every general manager would give. I'm not criticizing him when a direct question is asked by somebody like that on live television. And that was a few minutes before Carnell Tate ran his 4.5 4.40, and he said he's slow. I wouldn't pick him that high, you know, meaning, hey, everybody, let somehow Carnell Tate drop to us the 26th overall pick. Well, Brandon Bean had his eye on somebody. Not at the combine. He might still have had his eye at somebody at the combine because the Bills do have 26th overall pick. They have a lot of draft choices to get weapons for Josh Allen. Doesn't have to just be first rounders. Moments ago, shortly before we went on the air, DJ Moore has been acquired by the Buffalo Bills.
Wow.
Off goes DJ Moore. Now, we kind of got a sense of it because I don't follow him on his Instagram account, but it popped up in an algorithm, I believe on Threads, that he had a photograph of him looking out his front door with what appeared to be a kid, and they were looking out of the front door basically saying, looks like we're out of here, was the general gist of his post. And so he caught wind of that. He is, in fact, out of Chicago and going to Buffalo, and he is going to be, right off the bat, Buffalo's number one wide receiver, something that he was becoming in Carolina, wound up being part of the trade that went with a bunch of picks to Chicago that wound up with Caleb Williams being drafted because DJ Moore was one of the players sent by Carolina so they could get the first overall pick to draft Bryce Young. And DJ Moore comes into Buffalo just like Stephon Diggs did a few years ago with the you're the guy. You are the guy who can be the number one wide receiver. You are the new BFF of Josh Allen. He's 2 years older than Stephon Diggs was when Diggs arrived in Buffalo. He does have twice as many 1,000-yard seasons that Diggs had coming into Buffalo as he is. The interesting thing is they're both Maryland Terrapins, just going through what could be some DNA here. But good on the Bills. I mean, it's apparently it's a mid-level draft choice. Could be, what, fourth that turns into a three, five that turns into a four. I don't know what it's going to be. But if you're sitting there third round, fourth round, fifth round, you're the Buffalo Bills, and you're looking at the wide receivers still available in the draft, you're hoping to get the next DJ Moore. And it took DJ Moore a couple of years to turn in to DJ Moore, you might as well get the genuine article, which the Buffalo Bills did. Mm-hmm. And congratulations to them for doing it. And as for the Bears, I guess it's like, let's just figure out what to do with our youngins. Our Iceman and Caleb Williams, let's get them another guy maybe in this year's draft. Also, there's the iceberg and the tip. Like I always say, that you never know what's going on. Just don't know if DJ Moore, on occasion, there always used to be something that felt like a gear grind, something that felt like was off. And on that last interception of the playoffs for Caleb Williams, or the last interception of that game in the playoffs that ended essentially their hopes, that led to the Rams winning and moving on to Seattle as opposed to Chicago. He ran a route that didn't look all that crisp, and Chris Collinsworth called him out on the spot.
Did.
So you put it all together, and DJ Moore is now Buffalo Bill. And I kind of dig it. It's better than what they currently have for a number one wide receiver. Keon Coleman, as we all know, didn't really prove very quickly. So not a bad move right there. Meanwhile, Suze, your Patriots told Stephon Diggs they're done.
Yep.
And so maybe the Bills would take him back.
I mean, never know, right?
Doubt it.
Yeah.
I don't think so. And I think he's got a lot on his plate right now as well.
Right.
But Mike Vrabel did said this is where we get. And he said that last week at the Combine, this is where we're going to have to go to find our future is in the draft picks. But A.J. Brown, do we think that that's going to happen?
Well, I mean, the person who normally occupies that seat on a daily basis would love for that to happen.
I think that sounds like there's plenty of good books to read in New England on the sidelines.
Nice.
We do need to have somebody for this young quarterback to throw to, Rich.
I mean, well, they've got the youngins that are there as well. Word on the streets is that the Patriots might have their eye on Alec Pierce, mm-hmm. who is the deep threat for the Indianapolis Colts, who really hasn't proven out that he's a number one wide receiver yet.
Luke not happy with that one, really. Just
he wasn't happy hearing that that might be the answer, but he's also coming into his own, and maybe, just maybe, he is the guy that you can hook up with Drake May and overpay and look like a genius by the end of the day, which I think just rhymed.
I mean, you're bars.
I said May, pay, and day.
Bars.
I know.
That's a lot.
Seuss.
But I think you put it properly, Suze, is that he's got a lot on his plate, and the Patriots might not want to put much of that plate there anymore. And May's going to have to get all grown up and figure out who else to throw to. But there were other guys. I mean, they had Booty. They had Kyle Williams. They had other guys. Pop Douglas. These were all guys coming to the fore, and you draft another one, you could free agent another one. If you do want to shoot the moon and figure out what goes on with A.J. Brown, you try and affect that. Or you free agent and go into Alec Pierce's mode.
And it was a lot of money. I mean, you're going from 10.5 to 26.5.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's a money thing as well.
Yes, indeed. But the Patriots are moving on from Stephon Diggs.
You know, the Pats, though, outside of the Randy Moss year, they've never really been a team, and Susie, you'll know this better than me, that need that big splash, number one. They've always seemed to get by with guys, you know, wide receiver twos, you know.
Hogan, like, Welker, Edelman.
You know, even back to your, you know, the early championship days, what, with Deion Branches.
What do those three guys and Alec Pierce have in common?
They're all probably under 6 feet, I think.
No.
That would probably be it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
they all catch passes.
That's it, Rich.
That part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
oh, right.
See, I'm trying to hit a
nail. They're all from the East Coast.
They are.
They're all very comfortable in New England.
They are
in the Greater Boston area. TJ,
I'm catching on.
Mm. You finally washed it. It just finally splashed on you over there. Okay. So 844-204 Rich, phone lines are already lit. Appreciate seeing on all of that, that phone lines are lit. Let's bring Martellus Bennett out here, former Patriot, former player in the National Football League. He's now got a show coming up on Disney Plus called Hey AJ, based on a Martellus's children's book series. It's on Disney Plus, available now, and Disney Junior, which is always, used to be on in our house quite a bit, Suze. So let's bring her on out. Former Cowboy, Giant, Bear, Pat, Packer, Martysaurus Rex will be cited coming up next. If you're like me and my family, you're all about creating amazing memories while on vacation. And for me, many of those have involved a home we found on Airbnb. We had such great experiences that whenever we travel somewhere new, we always check Airbnb first to find a place that fits our needs. The homes we've stayed in, comfortable, safe, private. You feel like you're part of the community. After a long day of exploring or sitting on a beach, it really is nice to come back to a place you can call your own. Airbnb is also a great way, if you want, to earn some extra money while you're traveling or out of your house for an extended period of time. You can make your home work for you while you're away. Not as a full-time thing, not as some big production, just something that fits into trips you're already taking. You can use the money for that dream vacation or put that money towards that outdoor kitchen you always wanted. Hosting on Airbnb just feels smart. Your home may be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. O'Reilly Auto Parts can help take the guesswork out of your check engine, ABS, or maintenance light with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE certified master technicians. O'Reilly Veriscan can identify the most likely problem with just one scan. If you need help, O'Reilly Auto Parts can recommend a shop for you. Don't ignore a check engine, ABS, or maintenance light. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today. A free service exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
Balls, the pickups, the, you know, making, helping with lunch and all those things. And I've been fortunate enough to be able to have that experience with my family and the household. And when I was making a show, really what I realized as a father is the magic and the mundane things around the house, like how imaginative and participating in my child's imagination. So when I was creating a show, I really wanted to bring that to life, the dad experience of being at home with the kid and playing all the time. So it's a bit different from my wife because I'm all about shenanigans. You know, my wife probably feel like she have two kids in the house sometimes because we both get into the shenanigans.
Should I ask Susie, or is this the same way as well, that where you feel like you have four children in the house?
Yeah, absolutely. So
there
plus
you go.
Two dogs.
There you go.
So, I mean,
are you one of the dogs?
I am not one of the dogs. I am not.
But Rich always says
I can get my own water.
I appreciate this. Rich always says that if, you know, there's a life raft involved, he's worried that he might come after eight legs. You know what
I mean? Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like if there's a pecking order in the house.
Well, but the best dad.
Child, dog, me. That's basically that's it. It's okay. Yeah. That's all right. I understand the way this works.
But somebody has to push the raft, so that's where you at.
That's right. And they're really beautiful dogs.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
he's a beautiful man.
He is.
To somebody.
Oh, you missed yesterday's show, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
It's okay.
Go. That's all right.
But congratulations again on Hey AJ, which is available now on Disney Plus and Disney Junior. So, and again, it I've been around the NFL for 23 years. It is not easy to figure out what you're going to do when you're done playing. You know, you have to have a plan. You've got to think about it before you're done playing. And that's what you did with this, right?
Yeah, you have to build a bridge before you cross the bridge. You think about guys right now, you know, at the combine, right? They think that their life is going to be this thing, this playing this sport. Mm-hmm. But it could end at any time. You really don't have any control over a lot of things that could happen to you on the field, getting hurt. So you have to start thinking about who you are as a full human being, not just as an athlete. I always knew that I was a creative who plays sports. I'm not an athlete who's creative, right? Like no one, I had to learn how to catch the ball, learn how to, no one ever taught me how to create anything. So I knew that I wanted to do creative things when I retired. So like when I was playing, I would intern and job shadow at Nickelodeon. I'll be at DreamWorks. I would also.
Is that right?
Yeah. So I did a lot of work in Hollywood. I would come here and LA, I would come here and train and knock on and call as many people as I can. I would be on a Disney campus. When I retired, I opened my studio in Burbank right down the street between Disney television and Nickelodeon. So I used to ride my bike to all these different places, taking all these meetings. So my dream was, you know, when I had my daughter, I started thinking about my own dreams in the world and what I wanted to be when I would grow up, because what she would want to be. And you're going to sit right there and I tell my daughter, like, yo, you could be anything that you want to be. You could do everything that you want to do. But then I had not set out to do everything that I want to do. So I think a great father is a great example, right, of following your dreams and chasing your dreams. You may not achieve those dreams, but the fact that you chase your dreams gives others permission to chase their dreams. And my biggest goal is to give my daughter permission to chase whatever her dreams may be. So I had to go out and chase my own.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. That is correct, TJ. Great way to put it. So what was your favorite gig in between NFL seasons that you did that really, that who'd you meet? You had a good story based on?
Yeah, I did a lot of stuff. There was this guy named Keith Dawkins. I met him at Nickelodeon Sports. Okay.
He's the one who slimes people?
Nah, he was in charge of doing like Nick Sports when they was trying to bring all the sports, and also in charge of when they was trying to bring back Nicktoons like Rugrats, okay, the late night television thing, okay, they were trying to do.
Uh-huh.
But I met him and asked him if I could job shadow him, and he was like, yeah, you could job shadow me. So I followed him for like 4 or 5 days and through LA, going to all these different meetings and things with him. And I was learning a lot, but I was sitting in this meeting, and in this meeting was like the greats, like the Ren and Stimpy guys, the the guys who did Ah, Real Monsters, all these things. And they're talking about these shows, and they're talking about how they could bring about new ideas to these things. But I realized that they ain't own their property, so they wasn't very happy about it coming out again, because they wasn't going to get any money of those checks.
They weren't going to get any of the money.
Yeah, you know, so it's like, you know.
So do you own Hey AJ?
I still own rights to my books and my apps.
Yeah, you do.
So, but with AJ, I got it to a point where I couldn't afford to make it what I wanted it to be. Like, I needed somebody else. I built something that was out of my league. So I needed to find the right partner. And Disney was the first yes. Everybody else told me no. Even when I published the books, nobody wanted to publish the books. So I had to start my own publishing company to put my own books out in the world and sell my books. So no one saw the potential in the book. No one saw the potential in the apps. No one saw the potential when I did animation for it myself. And, you know, you take all these meetings and knock on all these doors and you get in these rooms and it's no, 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 no. But I was built for no because of football, right? Like, I learned how to fail or not, like, you know, one bad block doesn't mean that you had a bad game, right? You get back up and you make the next play, you keep right. going. So that's kind of what I did. And Disney was my first yes. It was the first people that was like, oh, we love this. The meeting was, it was the shortest meeting too. It's like, as soon as I walked in, it was like, yes. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Like,
did you think you were being punked?
For a second, I was like, I ain't really get into my, you know, I got to do the Marty thing. You know, I get in there, I got to, you know, yeah, but I didn't get to do the Marty thing. And it was just like, we love it. It sounds great. Like, Let's do the work. And so they've been great partners to me. So, I mean, you're at Disney now. So
yeah. Look, we got the we're just two Disney Plus guys chopping
from
it up
the NFL right to Disney. And we're in the same boat. You know what I'm saying? We on the same raft. Now yes. We can leave the family behind.
Yes. And many times Belichick's told me no.
Oh, yeah. Belichick. Belichick was the person I learned the most business from.
How so?
The first one, you went to the Patriots, it was the first one that felt like a job. Like, they gave you, you had to sign into the employee thing on the, I have never, no business experience being an employee, but you have to sign in with the rest of the employees. So okay. They let you know that you're there as an employee the moment you get there.
Of the New England Patriots.
Of the New England Patriots. But my favorite thing about Bill Belichick was that he treated everybody the same. We were, I tell you a football story.
Please.
Like, this is how I knew Bill Belichick was a, I liked him as a coach. Because usually when you have a quarterback, no one says anything to the quarterback. The quarterback gets away with all kinds of stuff. Yeah. Right? And no one calls him out. You know, they whisper. I play with a lot of quarterbacks. You know, I play with Aaron Rodgers.
Tom
Brady. Eli Manning. Tony Romo. My favorite was John Kitna. And my second favorite is Tom Brady, though. But So we go out to practice during install, during training camp, and we're disastrous. Like, we suck. Like, Tom's missing passes. Everybody's having an off day. Mm-hmm. It's really, really bad. Like, it's almost embarrassing. But I'm used to being bad because I played on a lot of bad teams. So it was just like, ah, we'll get it next time. But so we get into the meeting. I'm like, man, Tom did not have a great day today. But as soon as we get in the meeting, Bill Belichick, like, what is this? We have an all-world quarterback who can't hit the targets, can't throw the ball. You're Mr. Quarterback. This Julian Edelman, how long have you been short? All his career. Why are we throwing the ball 7 feet tall to a 3 foot guy? You know, that kind of thing in the middle of the meeting. And like, I'm sitting here, I'm laughing. I thought Bill Belichick was funny, like in a Larry David way. And so I'm sitting there and Devin McCourty always like, don't laugh. I'm like, it's funny though. Like, he says some funny stuff all the time. Like, Julian has been short his whole career. Like, it's a great thing. He actually said he had another metaphor analogy that he used to talk about his height that I don't think is safe for Disney Plus. but what happened after that? So I come out of there. It's like, oh, we got chewed out, but I'm used to getting chewed out. You know, I play for the Bears. just letting you know, I played for the Bears, yes. You know, so there's a whole lot that came along with that. And
Jay Cutler is your quarterback.
Yeah. As I get older, I appreciate Jay Cutler a little bit more, though. So then we go into, I'm getting ready to get my lift in, and I hear, doom, 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 like Airbud when the coach was throwing the ball at the kid or whatever. I'm like, dang, is Bill Belichick on some Airbud stuff, too? So then I come in, and it's Tom. Tom is throwing the ball against the wall, just dropping back. Target practice. He walks out. He brushed past me. I'm kind of, you know. It's like, it's Tom. I let him rub his shoulder against mine, but usually I would have to check him on such a thing like that. But today I'm gonna let you slide. So, but the next morning I come in, I'm eating my pancakes. Mm-hmm. They had good pancakes at
New England,
but New York Giants had the best food out of every single team I ever played on. Okay. Their cafeteria was lit, and I used to go there on off days just to eat. Never did such a thing on another organization ever, just except for the Giants. So the next morning, come in, Tom comes in, and he goes to each person individually, like, hey, stretch, do whatever you got to do. We're going to kick some butt today. So he's just like, he came in, eyebrows already scolded. Like, I'm like, you know, his face. I didn't know if it was Botox, though. It could have easily been Botox, you know, but I think it was just his point of view or whatever. So anyway, yeah. We go out there and he's getting everybody ready. We go outside and we go 35 for 35 at practice.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Mission accomplished.
Bill Belichick is over there smiling, and we're all cussing Bill out, you know, like, now what? Because, you know, whatever. And he's just swinging his whistle.
Yeah.
Just swinging his whistle, yeah. Kind of like got this mischievous, grinchy grin on his face, you know, that he's over there like he's some mastermind, like the supervillain in
Austin Powers?
Nah, in Inspector Gadget.
Claw. We're both coming from two different pop culture ends right there.
Yeah. Right. So, but it showed a lot about Tom. Like, Tom was a guy that, like, what I thought made Tom really great was that he changed his game for his teammates while other quarterbacks expected you. He's like, I'm good enough to do whatever I need to do in order to make you better. And I think that pliability, but in his personality as well. Not just in his business plan at TP12 or whatever it's called, but in real life, he has a very pliable personality to play with. So I like Tom a lot.
Great story, man.
I mean, I don't know if it was.
I know, like, Suze, you're
there's so much to unpack. I know that soliloquy. Number one, you should be a comedian. Number two, you should maybe start at the Comedy Store. Number three, we got a food review.
That's true.
A slight dig at Jay Cutler. I'm here for all of it. No,
he's the one fantastic. Who dig at Jay Cutler.
No, he was naming his quarterback.
There was a wink and a nod, Rich. You know? He did listen.
No, the thing that I also picked up from it is, you know, that Belichick treats everybody the same, right?
Even a janitor.
meaning what? Like,
one day we had a bad practice, and one day we did something at practice, and he made us run. But then he made the coaches run, too.
What?
The coaches was running sprint gassers with us, and he just like, everybody's running. Because he was like, y'all responsible for the players. Mm-hmm. If they're doing having a bad day, it's because of what you're doing, too. We're all interconnected, right? Like, you know, so I thought he's one of my favorite coaches. The Patriots is actually my favorite place to play.
Did he? Well, I mean, you won a Super Bowl there, did you not? Or no, you
didn't. I did. Okay, I am a Super Bowl champion.
So, I mean,
minus the cafeteria.
The So he made the janitors run that day too?
No, the janitors didn't run that day.
Okay, just was wondering.
No, they was inside.
Okay. Yeah. So just as an aside about how Bill always treats everybody the same, is he told a story for the NFL 100 show that I was so honored to anchor on NFL mm-hmm. Network a couple years ago, where he was the analyst. He did television. He was phenomenal
at it. Oh, yeah, I remember him doing that.
See, he was great at it.
His side quests got a little way side, I don't know why, but he had some good side quests.
He did. Yeah. So he at one point told a story with Lawrence Taylor sitting there mm-hmm. about how LT was always late for meetings, and Bill began to get, you know, a little upset about it. So he turned to Parcells, who was the head coach, and said to Parcells, "What do I do about it?" And Parcells said, "What are you starting the meeting for without him?" Because Bill was ready to treat everybody the same, and
right.
it didn't compute to just, well, LT's on a different level.
Mm-hmm.
And, which Tom was on a different level in many different ways, obviously, right? But he's just ripping him a new one over a bad practice session. It's just everything you need to know. And that Tom responded, right?
That's the thing.
And then the team responded
mm-hmm.
well, day later, you know?
If you don't, if a lot of times, like, what happened with teams are, is coaches try to pick a leader, right? They think this is the quarterback is always the leader, or right. this person is the leader, or sure. whatever. But leaders can't be handpicked. They have to emerge from the crop of men. And oftentimes the person that the coach thinks is the leader, or the organization wants to brand as the leader, mm-hmm. is not who the players know as a leader in the locker room, or the person that is built to lead. So sometimes you mess somebody up because you want them to lead, but that's not the position or their disposition as a human being, which I realized as I got older, that's what happened a little bit with Jay Cutler. Like, he was just like, I just want to play football. I'm not a rah-rah guy. I'm not trying to do this. Just let, you know, let somebody else do the job. Stop picking me. I'm not a pick me, right? Like, I just mm-hmm. want to go play football. And sometimes it's better if you just let the quarterback be who they are versus thinking they're the franchise, they're the face of the franchise, so they have to be the leader as well. And, you know, there's a great book called Leaders Eat Last. Really good book. And the idea of it talks about the wolf pack. And when the wolves are traveling across, you know, the terrain, mm-hmm. the treacherous terrain, just to do a little alliteration in that. But like the treacherous terrain, like, you know, you think about the alpha male in this wolf pack.
Mm-hmm.
They don't travel at the front of the pack. They travel at the back because the weakest wolf is who you were first likely attack, the wolf in the back. Nobody attacks the wolf in the front.
Mm-hmm.
But the leader knows that. So he has to become a follower and has to have somebody else who can lead. So a lot of times when we right now with kids, like what we're not doing with kids as we're developing them, we're not developing character. Like, we're developing athletes and players with no character, which is detrimental to the team in the future because it becomes an individualized thing instead of realizing you're a small you're just micro in the grand scheme of the world, like us as people.
Right.
Right. We start thinking about the world like we're so tiny. There's trees that have been around for hundreds of years. Like, there's not that many people there is this one island in Japan that everybody lives past 100. I mean, I need to move there. But, you know, as a black man, you know, I was happy to make it past 21. But, you know, it's a whole nother story. But like, you know, you think about how small you are mm-hmm. in the grand scheme of all things. But we all want to be so big and we want to be seen with it. We want to be larger than life. We want 1 million followers. We want 10 million followers. Jesus didn't even have that many followers. He had to go find fishermen. Hey, man, I can make you a fisher of men. He had to get a bunch of people. Hey, you building, like, all his people just like, you know, he found them along the way. He had a couple followers, mm-hmm. you know, but he had a big message. And then sometimes, like, it takes a small group of people to change the world. But we got to realize how small we are.
I love when you get to come back once every, you know, now and then, as opposed to once every 8 years or whatever here on the show. I just love chopping things up with you. Speaking of being big and small, TJ, you found the photograph of
the guys.
Okay. The photograph of the last time you were here. Scott Hamilton was a fellow guest. I think we have that. There it is. We had the two of you pose next to each other.
I remember that photo too.
Look at that. Like we were trying to recreate the twins.
Oh, that's
yeah.
Oh, good one. Bingo. I like it.
You know what movie I want to remake, cool. though?
What's that?
I want to remake Kazam and be like Shaq's son, Shazam.
Okay.
Yeah, and kind of go in there and be a genie. I think it would be a really cool thing for me to grant wishes.
I think this is next on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
We can try and make, yeah. Let's make this happen.
Let's do it. You should be in the show too.
I would be, we're let's be producing partners. Look at
done
us
deal.
All right. You want to play Residual Rich?
I would love to.
Let's do this. What we do is I open a check on the air and everybody guesses like Price is Right rules closest without going over what it is.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. Hit it. Hit it, please.
That man his money.
Okay, here we go. I've got four envelopes. Choose which one. One, two, three, or four?
Three.
Three, okay. You got the Price is Right music for me, please, Jay Felling? Here we go. No, the Price is Right music. My goodness gracious. Give me the Price is Right music. Oh, this is perfect. I was in a movie called Leatherheads. Do you remember this movie?
The George Clooney,
an old football movie.
Yeah.
Okay. I was in a movie called Leatherheads. I did voiceover for it.
Okay.
And then I think they decided that my voice was too contemporary. I never even made the movie, but I'm still getting residual checks.
Oh, wow.
That's the best part. No show jobs are great. Me and Kawhi Leonard, it's great.
wow.
What?
Wow. Those right. Very well done.
Here we go. Thank you. Yeah. Well, you're wearing a Raptors hat here, yeah. So I had to mix in a little envy.
Well, I just like the shape of this hat. I'm not okay. I'm not a sports fan at all.
All right, so here we go. Suze, you want to guess your first up, the closest without going over of how much this check is from Leatherheads?
First of all, do I get half?
You always do, Suze. Yeah. Even with us still having our relationship, you know.
$8.
Some people in this town have to get half by – you know, leaving each other.
$8.
Okay, $8. Jay Felly, what do you got?
I'm going to go $1.50.
$1.50. TJ Jefferson, what do you have over there?
I'm going to go 75 cents.
75 cents.
And this is it has to do with how often the movie is watched.
Exactly. So it hasn't been, you have to
see. Yeah, George Clooney, Leatherheads, not that many people watching that. I'm going to go with.
Yeah, can I read you? I thought about
$6.28.
$6.28. She gets special dispensation.
Because she could take it all, technically.
What do you got?
Also so competitive. Now I don't want to lose this.
Okay.
$3.50.
Okay. It didn't matter either. the actual retail check is $1.45.
Oh,
there it is, right there.
So that's $1.45. Not even a parking.
That is not.
That would be.
I was close.
So 75 cents. TJ,
go to Hollywood. Be in showbiz. They tell you. Go to Hollywood. You're gonna do great. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, you're gonna be like, you're gonna make money like Brad Pitt. No, you not. No, you not. No, you not. Do not do it. Do not do it. Get a desk job. Oh, you know, work for yourself, which is not a great idea either. Entrepreneurship is one of the worst things you could possibly do to yourself
but look
and
at
your
you,
family.
But look at you now, though.
Yeah, look at you now, though. I used to have hair.
Another bald guy on the program.
I used to have hair. So,
well, you look fantastic.
Well, thank you. My black's not cracking anytime soon.
Is that going to be another episode of Hey AJ?
Oh, definitely. I like to put black dad jokes in the show for
okay,
sure. Yeah,
fantastic.
Yeah. The show is black as AF, but on the animated version. So, yeah, it's cool, you know. So that's the cool thing about it. Like, sometimes we'd be talking on a show, and I'd be like, yeah. When I get the script sometimes, like, a black father wouldn't say that. You know what I'm saying? So I had to change the stuff when I started doing the Samuel Jackson thing. You know, Samuel Jackson is my favorite actor.
Okay.
And he's who I wanted to play my dad on the show first. So anytime I write a movie script or anything, I always have a voice or a place for Samuel L. Jackson.
You've left a seat.
Have
you ever met him?
Never met him in my life.
We got to make this happen.
Yeah, man. They, you know, old white women always tell me I look like him, but then I kind of take that with a grain of salt. You look like an old, you know, young Samuel L. Jackson. I was like, I don't know if that's racist or a compliment, you know.
Could be both.
It could be both. It could be both.
Could be both. Back in the day when our kids were really young and that you there was that book, Go the F to Sleep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he read it. Yeah.
He read it. We got that that book on tape just to hear what it sounded like.
I saw him on Broadway.
And what a brilliant idea that was to have him do that.
I saw him on Broadway too. Yeah. And the piano play. And it was like amazing to see him on stage. So
right.
I love Samuel Jackson. He's my favorite actor.
What's not to like? He's amazing. Great to see you here. Let's do this more often.
I'm down.
Certainly since you're just over the just over the hill twice over, but
I'm in Houston now.
You're in Houston now?
Yeah, I'm back home in the South.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you're just here just doing, hanging out? Just
well, today we're doing an NFL career day at the Disney. So players who want to do animation or get into animation, they're going on a tour through Disney television, and we're showing them all the ropes of how we create shows, how things are made. So it's like 30 guys coming through.
Who else?
Former and previous and current players. I mean, I don't really follow football as much as I used to, so I don't know some of the guys that's on the list. But it's like 30 people coming in, so it's an exciting day.
I saw your brother at the Super Bowl. He came on NFL Network, great, you know, crowing about the Seahawks before they went actually and did what he said they were going to do.
Oh, man, what a treacherous game for Patriots fans, right? Like, you can't complete a pass, can't get anything done.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that left tackle, he was just getting destroyed. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, that's a... You either get better or you I don't know. You come back from... That's one of those things, you know, like, it could haunt you to greatness.
Right.
Or it could haunt you into despair.
Wow.
It was a long afternoon.
Yeah, yeah. We were there. Our 15-year-old's a diehard Patriot fan, so.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
He was bummed.
But it's nice to see him back in the game, though, you know. It's like those two, you know, sorry to keep this going, but I don't get to get on TV that often, so I'm going to make the most of my time. But NFL is interesting because it's always the same teams who have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like that cycle of greatness is coming through because it comes from the top down. The organizations are ran from the top. So some organizations know how to win
mm-hmm.
and some organizations know how to lose. Like the leadership, they got losers in leadership or ownership.
Well,
you could be a loser and be a billionaire. I mean, most billionaires do end up being losers.
Mm-hmm. You mean personally is what you're saying?
Yes.
Emotionally.
Yeah, just sure. Structurally.
I hear you.
Their posture.
I'd love to give that a try and see if I can break
do
that.
Do different? Yeah. Me too. I would definitely. I would do
what
good.
What would our idea together? You said you don't get on TV too often. You wouldn't stick around for one more segment?
I would love to.
Can we do that? I don't know if we can. Does he got to get to, somebody has to know about, does he have to get to Burbank? The extra 50. We good? We're good. You're That's good. A thumbs up, man.
Yeah.
Let's hang out a little longer.
Let's do it, man.
Let's finish the hour with Martellus.
Yeah, we can talk about it's your show. It's the Marty and Rich show today.
I feel like we should switch seats. We'll be right back with more Marty Saurus Rex right here on the... I love Chris Long, too. Good stuff.
I love his whole family.
You too.
Yeah.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Yeah,
that's
cool. When my sports center and Stewart's laughing, I'm like, you're the one who's washing your hands for 30 seconds, like you're some neat freak, you know?
Yeah, I just want to take a second and reflect on when you and Stuart Scott were doing television and how beautiful like those moments were, and the way that the game was talked about, and the patience that you had, and the pacing, and the grace that was given to athletes at that period of time. Like, as we move forward, everything's so much faster, you know, and it's not so much as the depth of the language and the love and the care for the game and the athletes. It was really a beautiful time to be a fan of the game.
That's so nice of you to say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I miss Stu. He's gone 11 years now.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
Susie knew Stuart because Susie and I met in the ESPN newsroom in 1997.
Y'all was fraternizing in the workplace?
No. Rich was crying. Susie wasn't having it, Martellus.
Everybody thinks the Michigan man who won the Heisman in 1997 was Charles Woodson, but instead it was me.
I see what you did there. Yeah.
Oh, I was attempting.
Yeah.
She wasn't buying it.
Unsuccessfully. But
you know,
you know,
part of the when you have charm, it usually doesn't, you know, land in the beginning. Like, you gotta keep showing up, and you keep showing up, and you keep showing up. Know what I'm saying? Like, they get like, oh, this guy's actually kind of nice, he's a good person. And then after you keep showing up, they get used to having your presence around, and they realize how you make them feel when you're in the room with them, and then you disappear. And then they'd be like, dang, where is he at? And then they'd be like, oh, I really like that guy.
Is that accurate?
No, not really. Trying to remember.
Could you tell me what happened?
Disappeared?
No, not disappeared, but like take a day off of being charming.
I don't actually think you'd take many days off of being charming.
Ooh.
He's just nice. He's just really nice, and he's a really good listener.
And that's what turned her off.
Pretty much. Yes. For the first 3 years, you're not wrong, TJ.
So this is not why I asked this man to stick around for
how long have y'all been married?
23 years.
Oh, well, I'm it'll be in 15 years for me this year.
Oh, congratulations.
Right. Yeah.
I just love what a good dad you are. I love your passion for your child. And I just want to say thank you on behalf of all of us out here who have girls. It just means so much to me that you are such a role model to her. And if all dads can listen to this show right now and do the same for their girls, we'll grow up a whole generation of smart, strong girls who feel good about themselves. It's all about that relationship with your girls and the dad.
Man, I 100% agree. I think that, you know, when, like, as a man, there's a lot of things you're not privy to until you get married about women's rights or women's movements or things that's happening. And then when you become a father, it's like, wow, like, I got to change the world because she has to grow up in this environment. Like, what is that environment going to be like for her 10 years from now? When we think about legacy, we have to think about place and how our daughters can, you know, enter these places and be fully themselves. And, you know, and raising a young black girl, I have to teach her like all these different lessons along the way. But my biggest thing as a dad is like.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to the Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney Plus, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.